It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. The voice you hear is not Kim Munson. She's actually doing a TV program this morning and gave me a call and asked if I would be her guest host today sitting in. So I'm Bradley Beck, and I'm here as a small businessman and co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. And it's always a privilege to be here with producer Joe behind the glass. Joe, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing unbelievable. It's a great day, day after Halloween. We had a lot of kids last night at the house and had a lot of fun with all the costumes and all the festivities, and always good to get a good hot bowl of soup afterwards. And today's November 1st, so welcome to November.
And that sounds like a good time. I bet there was some good costumes out there, too.
Unbelievable. The creativity was just off the charts, and really enjoyed it, seeing the kids and giving out the candy. And some of the kids we get to scare a little bit, but a lot of fun. And hopefully everybody had a good, safe Halloween. And today's, I believe, All Saints Day for all those who participate in that. Congratulations, and I hope it's a blessful day for you. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. Each of you are valued. You're treasured. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. Folks, we were made for this moment. It's a fabulous end of the week, and looking forward to this weekend where we have the 15th anniversary of the Liberty Toastmasters Club in Denver, and we'll have some more information for that, but you're all invited to come and visit. That it's at 10 a.m. at the Independence Institute. And Kim's website is kimmunson.com. She's got a great voter's guide there, and encourage you to take a look at all the initiatives and everything that is happening here on the state ballot in Colorado. It's not too early to vote. Get out there, vote early, and make sure you vote for all the right things, because we need a lot of change here in Colorado, and hopefully you're going to vote for the right people and the right ballot initiative. So you can always sign up for Kim's weekly email newsletter. You get the first look at all our upcoming guests, as well as their most recent essays. I have one there from Sunday called Practice Persuasion Against Pundits, Politicians, and Provocateurs, about persuasion rather than force. And as Kim always says, freedom is better than force all the time. So you can practice that skill at Liberty Toastmasters, and we invite you to come down. You can always contact Kim at kim@kimmunson.com. That's KIMMONSON. And we always like to thank our sponsors who give us the honor of being on the air, the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship as well. And thank you to Hooters Restaurant for their sponsorship. They have five locations here in Colorado: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Always great lunch specials Monday through Friday for dine-in or to-go. And Wednesdays, Joe, are Wings Days. You can buy 20 wings and get 10 additional for free. You can do it for dine-in or to-go as well. Hooters Restaurants, it's a great place to meet friends and get together and watch your favorite team. So we encourage you to do that. Joe, I picked a word of the day today that's a little bit different. My wife said, why don't you make it something easy to kind of go along with what Kim had yesterday for garbage. So why don't you do trash? But I thought, nah, I'm going to do something a little different. So the word of the day is probity, and it comes from the Latin probus, meaning honest, and it implies tried or proven honesty or integrity. It's a high standard of moral integrity or honesty, and it embodies a quality of being completely truthful, ethical, and often associated with uprightness in conduct. And used in a sentence, this comes from Marcus Tullius Cicero, quote, take from a man his reputation for probity, and the more shrewd and clever he is, the more hated and mistrusted he becomes, end of quote. And that's the word of the day, probity. So make sure you use it when you're talking to friends, coworkers, or just anybody in passing. It's a good opportunity, like we do in Toastmasters, to have a word of the day and increase your vocabulary and be able to learn some new things and new words. And the quote of the day comes from one of our guests who is going to be on here in the third and fourth segment, Lawrence W. Reed. He's the president emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. And he previously served 21 years as the president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Midland, Michigan. He also taught economics full-time at Norwood University in Michigan. And he chaired its Department of Economics from 1992 to 1984. And he's the chairman, or was the chairman, of the prestigious Montpelier Society. He's written several books, The Seven Principles, The Great Myths of the Great Depression, and he's a very sought-after speaker around the country. His quote is the following, and it's a short one, but it's an important one. Quote, "If you do not govern yourself, you will be governed," end of quote. So that's from the great Lawrence W. Reed, and we'll be talking to him in the third and fourth segments and looking forward to that conversation. And, you know, it's always good to have interesting guests. We have Greg Walcher in the second hour, and Kim always sets up some great conversations that we like to have with a variety of people. And hopefully you're interested in it and you take some good notes and you're able to converse with the ideas that Kim brings to the forefront, something different that doesn't happen anywhere else in Denver radio. Usually most of the topics that you hear from Denver radio are all about what's happening in the news or what's happening with the weather or traffic. But Kim goes deeper into subjects, and looking forward to those conversations. And through all of Kim's work with veterans, she's honored to highlight the USMC Memorial Foundation and all the great work they're doing to raise money to remodel the official USMC Memorial. And that's located right here in Golden, Colorado. You can go down to 6th and Colfax. The whole organization is run by Paula Saris, and she's the president of the foundation. She's a Marine veteran, a Gold Star wife, and Paula and her team are working diligently to bring that remodel to that facility, and we hope that it becomes a reality sooner than later. And you can help. You can donate to the USMCMemorialFoundation.org. And that's USMCMemorialFoundation.org. And it's a great opportunity for you to get involved. And we have to honor our military and all the folks that gave their all, whether it's through service or support of the military. I know they feature all the branches, even though it's the USMC Memorial. Also, there's other folks that in the Air Force and the Army and so forth that are honored there as well. So take a look at that, and really love to have that conversation with you as we go along throughout the day, and what your experiences are with going down to different memorials around the country. There's some great ones, especially the World War One Museum down in Kansas City and the World War Two Museum down in New Orleans. They're both great, honoring all the various military conflicts we've had in this country and all the veterans and all the people that have given their all to support our great nation. So before we go on break, we'd love to make sure that we have the support of other sponsors. And Roger Mangan from the State Farm Insurance Team is one of those great sponsors.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Boson Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Boson Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. 800-800-9999. Call now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday!
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Be sure and check out my voter's guide. That is at kimmunson.com, and send that out to friends and family. There's a lot of people that are waiting to vote this weekend, and we hope that's a great tool for each and every one of you to send out to friends and family. And also, if you have questions regarding judges, one of our listeners did some great analysis on that, and if you would like to get that, text me at 720-605-0647 with your email address, and I will get that over to you. Now, we've got something kind of interesting that's happening this morning. I am doing this TV gig, and so Brad Beck has agreed to come in and host the show. And we'd already arranged for Jason Lupo to be in studio the day before to record his segment for the show. So that we're pre-recording this, and that's why you're hearing these different voices. Jason Lupo, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And you are a fellow Crawford broadcaster as well.
I am. I have a show, Spiritual Insurgency. It airs Saturday at 10 a.m. on the sister station 670
KLTT.
AM. Yeah. KLTT. So...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've never officially met. You've been on the show via the phone, so it's great to have you. But you have been working diligently in trying to inform people about this Prop 131 ranked choice voting. It's actually two things. It's jungle primaries and ranked choice voting. And big money from the left is coming in to support it. But unfortunately, then we have Republicans that have some of those contracts, and so they're out there stumping for it as well. So it's a real David and Goliath fight to try to defeat this, Jason Lupo.
So this is a David and Goliath fight. You know, there's $15 million on one side and a small little voice on the other side. And it's not necessarily that the money's coming in from the left. It's really interesting because the money is coming in from these big players. It's not necessarily coming in. You can't blame the Democrats for it. You can't necessarily blame the Republicans for it. But there are Republicans and Democrats who are using this as a tool to impact who basically gets in office.
Who the uniparty decides.
Correct. This is a uniparty effort. So really, the left has moved further left. The right has moved further right. Kent Theory and his gang of, you know, uniparty people have lost control over who they can put in office. And ranked choice voting across the country allows them to basically guarantee and rig who makes it in because money's going to decide it. And so you have to ask the question, why is a couple individuals spending millions of dollars of their own wealth on basically an election? This is not some way to like help the constituents of Colorado. This is, if you're spending millions of dollars out of your own pocket, you have a reason for it. Right. Everybody's got a motive. Everybody has a reason. And there's no such thing as an unbiased viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a bias.
Well, and when I say money from the left, I had done some research on Unite America, and that was founded by Catherine Murdoch, and she is the daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch of Fox News. So one might immediately think, oh, she might lean conservative. Oh, no, no, no. She actually is one of her other things other than ranked choice voting, if you look at her bio, is she is all about the whole climate change. And what I've learned as the moderator for the film, A Climate Conversation, and then these great podcasts that we've done, is that ultimately the climate does change. It's changed since the beginning of the Earth. However, man-made climate change, maybe, and maybe if we bankrupt the West and move us to, it's really a communistic ideal that we would maybe change the temperature, not even maybe a degree. What I'm learning is this is really about trillions and trillions of dollars that are going into this narrative in the West, not in China, not in India. And ultimately, it will bankrupt the West and it will change our lives forever. And so I don't see her as someone that's putting in money into this ranked choice voting because she cares about everyday people. She actually has an agenda, and that agenda is not good, no matter if you have an R, a D, a I, U, libertarian, whatever behind your name. It's not good for us.
Yeah, almost everybody does something because it's profitable to themselves. Right. Like there's always a bias. There's always going to be an agenda. And the root of what we need to do as citizens is figure out what is the agenda? What is the bias behind this? Why is somebody doing this? Why is somebody pouring millions of dollars of their own wealth into a race like this? And the truth is that probably at the end of the day, the rumors are probably true. Kent Theory probably sees this as a path forward to his governorship. And I believe Ken at one point was a Republican. You know, you got Dick Wadham that was the chair of the GOP here in Colorado that's fighting for this thing. Everybody that is fighting for this is your centrist uniparty candidate that is seeing how the scope of Colorado politics and United States politics is playing out, and they don't like it. They want this centrist ideology where kind of nobody's paying attention. I think one of the biggest things that has changed the course of Colorado politics and politics around the country is the fact that people are waking up and they're actually paying attention to what's going on. And I don't think we're to the point where we need to be. I think we need to be paying a lot more attention. But just that little bit of insight of people going like, what is really going on up at our Capitol? What's going on in the Senate? What's going on in the House? I think that is what's causing these people to freak out and go, whoa, 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 we can't just do what we want because we have eyes on us now. So if we can get back to this kind of centrist mentality where nobody is making a fuss, then we can pass whatever bills we want. We can favor whatever legislation we want, which favors whatever special interest groups want.
I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. I think to some people that term centrist sounds attractive. But centrist, really what it means, I think, to me is in a way is mediocre. And I think people don't realize the American idea, the founders, it was a radical idea. The idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And what we've had is these centrists that we've been talking about have considered those that love that idea, this American idea where everyday people have liberty to thrive and prosper, where government is limited. That is a radical idea. But that radical idea made America happen, where everyday people could thrive and prosper and create wealth. And that, I think, is really what is at stake here with this ranked choice voting question, Jason Lupo.
So I've said it numerous times throughout this. I believe that there is necessary discourse at every level of government. And when you have candidates or when you have elected officials that think in a very like-minded fashion, there's no discourse that happens. There's no debate that happens. The truth is that we want lawmaking to slow down. We don't want them to just pass 700 bills in the state of Colorado, or I think it was 630 last year. We don't just want them to, like 706 were proposed, but they passed like 600 of them. We don't want them to just continually pass 600 laws every single year. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the citizens of Colorado. But you need that discourse. And so there's room in our state legislature, there's room in our federal legislature, that you have more far left, you have more far right, you have everybody in a scope that spans the entire scope of the views and demographics of the United States, because it creates discourse. It creates that debate that's necessary for lawmaking to be effective. And when you put something like ranked choice voting in to make sure that money can still win elections and special interest groups still prosper, you eliminate that necessary discourse in this country.
Very well said, Jason Lupo. So what's your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners?
All I'm going to say is please, please, please vote no on 131. It is a David Goliath, you know, David versus Goliath battle. You haven't seen a lot of our advertisements because we just don't have the funds to do it. But it doesn't mean that this thing should just pass easily. And I don't think it will. I think the voters of Colorado are smart, but it's going to require citizen effort. And so tell all your friends, vote no on 131. We got a couple days left.
Okay. And what's that website?
FirstChoiceCounts.com.
Okay, FirstChoiceCounts.com. Jason Lupo, thank you so much. And we're going to stay on it and explain to people. When people hear what Prop 131 really is, people will say no. So get that word out to all your friends and family. We have this, these very important discussions because we have great sponsors. And for that steakhouse experience at home, check out Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday. Hey, Producer Joe, how you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing unbelievable. Good to be with you, and good to be with all of you out there in Radio Land listening. I'm Bradley Beck, filling in for Kim Munson, who's doing a TV gig this morning, and she hopefully will join us later in the second hour. But you can sign up right now for her weekly email newsletter, get the first look at all her upcoming guests, as well as the most recent essays. And you can always contact Kim at kim@kimmonson.com. And thank you all for contributing and supporting our independent voice and exercising our right of freedom of speech. And if talking about freedom of speech, Kim's got a great voter's guide. I encourage you all to go to her website and look it up. All the propositions are there and her position on each one of them. And it's very important. Get out and vote and make sure this election is successful in the right kind of way and do the right thing. So please go look at Kim Munson's voter guide. And on the line with us, we have a gentleman who's very highly sought after, Lawrence W. Reed. He's the FEE, Foundation of Economic Education, president emeritus. He previously had served for 11 years there at FEE for their president, as well as the Mackinac Center. And he's FEE's Humphrey Family Senior Fellow and Ron Manners Global Ambassador for Liberty. And Mr. Lawrence Reed, how are you this morning?
Hey, just terrific, Brad. Thank you for having me, and I hope you're okay, too.
I'm doing unbelievable, and, you know, I don't know if you remember, but many years ago at the University of Denver, you were doing a program for, I believe, Turning Point USA, and you were doing a program called Are We Rome? And there was a little bit of an incident that where the students tried to cancel you, and you were masterful in putting them back in their place. And I was fortunate enough to be in a little article you wrote back in 2017 called Bad Manners of Campus Left.
I remember that very well, as a matter of fact. And, yeah, I don't tolerate that sort of thing. And it was clearly planned. It wasn't so much what I said at the event. It was just they didn't like Turning Point and they didn't like me. So they were going to do their thing regardless of what I said.
And I recall I said some not so nice things back at him. I was pretty upset, and thankfully you were a little more reserved than I was that evening. So, but you're here today.
Well, appreciated the help.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to stick together as far as defending liberty, and it's something we got to do all the time, I think, anymore.
Yeah.
But you just recently wrote an article about something I found just fascinating called Do You Know the Ten Cannots? And as I'm reading this, I was like, wow, this is, it's so simple, but yet it's so important. Want to talk a little bit about it?
I'd be happy to. It goes back to 1916, so it's, what does that make it, 108 years old, I guess, to a man named William J. Betker, who died in 1962 at the age of 89. He was born in Germany, but he emigrated to America as a young man, became an ordained Presbyterian minister, and gained a national reputation as a superb public speaker. And so it was in 1916, or sometime shortly before, when he wrote these Ten Cannots and used it as the cornerstone of a speech. Many times thereafter. It's full of wisdom all these years later.
And I like to go through them because I think they're important to remember and to talk about because not enough people really dwell on these things. And the first one is you cannot bring about prosperity by discouraging thrift. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is powerful. And any economist worth his salt would readily agree with that because we know ever since the days of Adam Smith, the first economist, more than 200 years ago, that if you want to build an economy, if you want people to live better, you've got to encourage savings. Savings is the principal source of capital formation. If we spent everything and saved nothing, then you know, there wouldn't be capital for people to invest and take risks and start a business. And yet today, we have a lot of disdain out there, sometimes covert and other times quite explicit, certainly in government policy, which says it's better for people to just spend rather than put their money aside and save. But it's a time-honored economic principle that you should not spend everything you've got. You should save something for a rainy day and also for the formation of capital that can create an entrepreneurial enterprise.
Absolutely. I agree with that totally. The second one is you cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong.
Yeah. Boy, there's an awful lot of violation of that principle these days. There is a very widespread resentment, often with in a very unthinking way, a resentment to or for people who are well-off, who are successful. And, you know, there are people of every income level who you could write off as scoundrels, but the great majority of people are not. And when you just single out somebody because it seems they have more than you do, that's rooted in envy. And envy has brought down one nation after another because it tends to lead to policies that vilify and punish the successful, the risk takers, the ones who you know, take a chance and build a business, hire people, put a vision into place. I say thank God we have such people. They are the principal source of employment for the rest of us.
Absolutely. And, you know, these first two remind me of the old adage in economics that production precedes consumption. You cannot consume first. And it seems that's where a lot of the politicians have been going for so long.
Yeah, and they are big advocates of consumption, and they often make war on production. They want to regulate it, tax the heck out of it, and vilify people who focus on it. They often think that wealth is just sort of there on trees, waiting for us to pluck it. They don't give much thought to how it gets there, how it's created in the first place.
No, not at all. Well, and the third is you cannot help little men by tearing down big men. This is a big problem these days.
Yes, it is. And this is a bit of a restatement of number two, just another version of it, really. It essentially calls upon us to improve ourselves. Don't focus on what other people may have, because that, in the end, just drags you down. Focus on your talents, your abilities to work and invent and innovate. The savings you've accumulated, add value to society. Count your blessings instead of the other guys.
Isn't that the truth? Profit is a good thing, and helping people get to where they need to be is important, but you also have to have self-interest in order to pursue your happiness, and a lot of people don't understand that idea.
Yeah, self-interest is a powerful motivator, and like anything, it can be taken to an extreme, or someone could attempt to satisfy it by nefarious methods. But if you're not committing fraud or force or violence or breach of contract or that kind of thing, if you're not seeking government subsidies at the expense of other producers, well, then you are a value creator. You're making us all better off by virtue of what you're doing.
That's true. Yep, very much so. Number four, you cannot lift the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer.
Yeah, people often seem to forget that if you try to discourage the business owner, business creator in many cases, in the long run, that person's going to find a way to get around a lot of the things you're throwing at him. It's the wage earner that ends up getting the short end of the stick, because if you punish the wage payer, the employer, enough, that person is simply going to say, well, I'll do something else, or I'll put my money in sterile treasury bills, or I'll take my money to another country where I can invest it more safely. And that ends up hurting the wage earner more than it does anybody else.
You know, you see it happening in one of the candidates for president's policies that she's proposing. And I always am amazed at her lack of understanding of basic economics.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think you could take everything that she knows about economics, put it on a bumper sticker, and probably still have room for the Magna Carta.
That's so true. Well, number five is you cannot help the poor by destroying the rich.
Yeah, here again, it's kind of a restatement, a little different focus of a concept embedded in a couple of the others. And it urges us, in effect, to not focus on other people's blessings and what they've got, but instead focus on what you've got and how to grow it, how to make it bigger. You can't pull yourself up by dragging that other person down. And we shouldn't take groups in society and label them for the purpose of vilifying them. And yet that's the way the rich are typically treated. You know, the top 2% of income earners pay about half of all the income tax paid in the United States. And yet they're the ones who often are just sort of vilified as a class, as if they're all evil.
Yeah. And, you know, it's too often people who are wealthy are looked on with that disdain. And I'm always looking up at the big house on the hill and going, gosh, you know, one day I might, if I work hard enough, earn that. And I don't think enough people are taught that these days.
And that's a lot healthier attitude than looking up at that house and thinking, how can I steal that?
Right. And that seems to be the common refrain these days. Number six is you cannot establish sound security on borrowed money.
Oh, my gosh. Don't we wish we had that uppermost in mind while we were adding to our $35 trillion national debt. And it's amazing these days that the politicians in Washington, with just a few exceptions, are completely oblivious to what we're doing to future generations by piling up this unconscionable debt. Just this year alone, the deficit in the federal budget, just a one-year budget, the deficit this year is just about $2 trillion. So that'll all be added to the national debt. And now interest on the national debt alone is approaching $1 trillion a year. So can you imagine someday, if this goes on, where we pay maybe half or two-thirds of our income taxes just for the purpose of paying the previous generation's bills?
Well, you know, I think the attitude so often these days is, well, I got a credit card, I'll put it on that, and I'll worry about it later, and not realizing the bill is going to come due.
Exactly. And it's more, I think it's morally unconscionable to be running these massive deficits, because essentially it says we don't much care about the future generations, our kids and their kids. We'll just live it up today, send them the bill. We might be gone anyway, so they'll figure it out.
Yeah, unbelievable. Number seven is, you cannot further the brotherhood of man by inciting class hatred. This seems to be the bigger thing these days.
Oh, it sure does. And you can see one party of the two major ones in particular. They love to say, vote for me because I'll protect you from all these evil people out there. And they vilify entire classes. They treat people as if they're lumps of something. You know, you're all supposed to think alike if you're a certain color. You're all supposed to vote for us because we've put you on the dole and you owe it to us. And in the process, they just build these little classes, and based upon how those classes of people might vote, they'll either generate hatred for you or remind you that you should vote for them at election time.
Yeah. The number eighth one is, you cannot keep out of trouble by spending more than you earn, which is kind of like what number six was on borrowed money.
That's right. Just looks at it maybe on a little more personal level. But, if you think of it personally, what happens if you continue to spend more than you earn? I mean, you might be able to get away with it for a while and just add the debt to your credit card. But if that isn't at some point reversed, if you don't start paying your bills, you're going to be in for trouble. And that's just as true for a nation as it is for any one person.
You know, it's amazing how much we're in debt, and I hope to goodness after this election we're able to address it, because if we don't, our posterity are going to be paying for it, and they're already going to be the way it is now with Social Security.
Absolutely. That's soon going to go belly up, short of some massive tax hike or drastic cut in outlays and payments.
The number nine cannot here is, you cannot build character and courage by destroying men's initiative and independence. And you've written so much on this topic, especially on the aspect of character. Talk a little bit about that, Lawrence.
Yeah, I think character makes all the difference in the world. In fact, I believe it's so important that I can't imagine things like liberty existing in its absence. Character and liberty are two sides of the same coin. Now, you can have bad character, but I'm referring to good character. Good character encompasses things like being honest, committed to the truth, and not this stuff today you hear often, his truth, her truth. Every time I hear that, I want to ask, now, is that different from the truth? Because if it is, you need to clean up your act. But commitment to truth is part of character. And you would say a person doesn't have much character if he doesn't care about the truth, if he lies or cheats or deceives at every opportunity. But character encompasses so many other things too, like intellectual humility, recognizing that as smart as you may be, there's still an infinite universe of knowledge out there that you don't know. And when people understand that, then they might be focus on closer to home and fixing themselves instead of being a busybody and a meddler in the affairs of others. But other important aspects of strong character that are essential to a free society are things like responsibility, owning up to your errors and learning from them and not blaming them on other people. in things like gratitude, showing a grateful spirit for the good that comes your way that is not of your doing. I think sometimes we're getting away from that. We used to be a more grateful society, quicker to say thank you, quicker to acknowledge that not all the good that happens to us is of our own doing, that others have invented things, created things, given us good advice, led us down the right path, or whatever. I think a truly high character nation is a grateful nation and also a courageous one. I don't see how a timid people could be a free people in a dangerous world.
Yeah, it's so true. It's unbelievable. And the last one, we've got a quick few minutes to do this, is, and you cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they can and should do for themselves, being self-reliant.
Yeah, a few years back, I guess quite a few, maybe in the 50s it was, there was a scientist named Calhoun who set up an experiment with mice. And he had a mouse colony that he provided everything for. They never had to hunt for anything. They had all the food they ever wanted. And he wanted to see what would happen over time. And it was amazing how, for a time, the population just exploded because none of the mice had to go look for food or do anything other than just sit there with their mouths open. But over time, this was so debilitating, so psychologically damaging to the mouse colony that they just died off. They killed themselves with this massive dependency that stripped away their own independence and their own desire to work and to gather and to produce. And so I realize those are mice, not people, but I think there's a lot of parallel there. When you go to a national park, you see signs that say, don't feed the animals, you'll make them dependent. I mean, the government puts up such signs, but it's different, I guess, when they think, hey, but we can get votes if we throw goodies at people, even if it means a loss of their independence, intergenerational dependency, and all the moral problems that creates.
Unbelievable. Well, we'll be right back. I want to talk a little bit more with Lawrence Reed from the Foundation of Economic Education and a couple of the other essays he's written over time, and we'll be right back.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lorne Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lorne at 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Now that school's back in, mom and dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on KLZradio.com today.
It's Friday.
It is Friday. Welcome back. I'm Bradley Beck, sitting in for Kim Munson. She's doing a TV appearance this morning, and it's always an honor to be in the chair that the lady with the great voice and the wonderful thoughts always is here on Monday through Friday. So welcome back. And sign up for her weekly email newsletter. You get the first look at all the upcoming guests, as well as the most recent essays. And I'm fortunate enough to have one that was just published on Sunday, Practice Persuasion Against Pundits, Politicians, and Provocateurs. And so we invite you to go to her website, as well as getting her most recent voter guide. And it's an important aspect of voting, being informed. And she's got some great ideas in there, great artwork that the team here at the Kim Munson Show put together. And you can always email Kim at kimmunson.com. We're talking with Lawrence W. Reed. He's the president emeritus of the Foundation of Economic Education, known as FEE, and they're a great organization on economics. And I find it a valuable resource, Lawrence, to look at. I get the email every morning, and it looks like you guys have a contest going on there for a video.
Yes, with a $10,000 prize. Now, I retired as president in 2019. I'm a very active president emeritus, but I'm not involved in the day-to-day events. I get to simply write and speak, which is what I most enjoy. So I don't know the details of that contest, but I noticed that too. $10,000 prize for the best video that people, that a person may produce on some aspect of freedom.
It's, I think, a little play on iPencil, which is in one of my favorite little writings of yours, a little group of essays called Are We Good Enough for Liberty? And in that, you do have Leonard E. Reed's classic essay, iPencil. And
yes.
I just love the concept of it. It's so simple, and yet it says everything you need to know about economics.
Oh, it sure does. It came out December of 1958. So it's been around a while, but that is the single most requested publication from the foundation in all the decades since, written by our founder, Leonard Reed. He was no relation to me, but I did know him in the last 7 years of his life. And to make a long story short, he tells the story of how a pencil comes into being as if it's the pencil himself doing the talking. And the pencil explains that the material used to make the eraser comes from a certain kind of tree in Malaysia. And, of course, the wood, the best wood for a pencil is this or that type that you have to find here and not there. The graphite comes beneath the ground. And aside from all the people involved in bringing those raw materials into play, you've got all the other workers along the way, including the waitress who served the coffee, where the loggers had their breakfast. In other words, tons of people who didn't really know each other, except in a few cases, are brought together through the invisible hand of the free market to produce something as simple as a pencil. And yet not a single one of them could produce that pencil entirely on their own. I mean, think of it. If you were told, make a pencil, but don't rely upon any plans, any blueprints, any skills, any knowledge that anybody else has, you do it entirely on your own from scratch. You'd have to become a logger. You'd have to become a metal worker. Endless other things that you probably could never do. And yet, magically, it comes together not by, some commander who orders people to do it, but by the magical incentives of the profit motive to produce all the pencils that we could ever want.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is, and I say this repeatedly to people when I hand them my pencil and talk about the source of all our wealth is our mind, and nothing happens until you use that thing between your ears.
That's right, and that's the most important thing that distinguishes us from all other human, all other life, period. I mean, certainly many other animals have brains, but they have enormous limits that are pretty much driven by instinct, whereas human beings can use their mind to create things that no other creature could even imagine. And that's the result of our brain and whether or not we put it to work.
Well, you know, when you talk about character and freedom and liberty, you know, I define character as our choices plus our actions equal our character. And our virtues, which are traits of excellence, and our morals, our actions, they're so important. And yet we don't talk as a society about these things enough, Lawrence.
Yeah, and I'm glad you put those two words, choices and actions, together. Because you could make choices, but then if you don't act on them, or if you act in a way contrary to those choices, you've got a discrepancy problem there. But people who have, you know, a very solid character, what you see then is what you get. They act out in real life what their inner character tells them is the right thing to do. So if you possess character, it should show, and it likely will. Other people will notice. And if you want to be an influential person, I think you've got to have character, because other people won't listen to you if they think you don't mean it, or if they think you're just trying to manipulate them, or don't practice those values yourself.
You know, so many of the ideas that you bring to the forefront are based on stories. You're a masterful storyteller, but these are all stories of truth. And I'm always fascinated by where you get the various examples and the people you get to engage with who exemplify these ideas.
Ah, well, that's a great question. I wrote a book in 2015 called Real Heroes, and it has 40 chapters, each one focusing on a different person. And if I had that book in front of me, Brad, I could go down the list of those 40 people and say, well, I learned about this one from my mother. I learned about this one when I was reading about somebody else. You know, they all have a different origin in my mind. But I'm always looking for examples of people who led exemplary lives, who were heroes not just in the moment, but lived heroic lives. You know, a firefighter who goes into a burning building and saves a child is a hero for that moment. But whether or not that person lives a heroic life, you'd have to look more closely. You'd have to see, well, how do they behave in all situations, not just a particular moment. And the ones who commit themselves to truth and honesty, responsibility, patience, courage, gratitude, and who live their lives that way consistently, those are the real heroes I think we should learn from and emulate.
Absolutely. And you have so many in many of your writings, especially the one I'm most familiar with is Nicholas Winton, Nicky Winton, who saved a tremendous amount of children just prior to and during the Holocaust. And just amazing character, amazing fortitude.
Yes, I came to know him personally, and over six or seven times I would take groups of students to London for a history tour, and we always stopped at Nicky Winton's home so they could meet him. And they, of course, they were always blown away to be in the midst of a very humble man who did a truly heroic thing in saving 669 Jewish children from the Nazis in 1939. Those kinds of people are the ones we need to celebrate. You know, we hear all the time people say, refer to the common man as if that's something we should all emulate. But I like to tell audiences, wait a minute, you don't tell your children, you know, hey, work hard and maybe you'll someday be common. I mean, we tell them, try to be uncommon, uncommonly good, uncommonly productive, uncommonly talented, uncommonly generous. It's not the commonness in us that really moves the human race forward. It's the uncommon, the risk takers, the visionaries, and the truly good people who are great examples for the rest of us.
Wow, unbelievable. Well, Lawrence, it's always an honor to hear you and to be able to talk with you. What are your closing thoughts this morning? You got about a minute.
Okay. Well, I'll just say if you haven't made character a priority in your life, a very conscious priority, now's the time to do so. It's never too late to start, never too early to start building character. Think of life as a character-building exercise. You want to be able someday to look back on your life and say, yeah, I was human, so I made a few mistakes, But once I knew what the right thing to do was, even if it might be risky or cause other people to criticize me, I did it nonetheless. You know, you'll be able to look back with pride on the difference that you made. It's people of character who change the world for the better, and it's never too late to start trying to be one.
Great words. Well, Lawrence Reed, thank you very much for your time this morning. We appreciate it, and thanks for all your great work.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Brad.
You're welcome. And our end of the show quote is by Lawrence W. Reed. Quote, if you do not govern yourself, you will be governed, end of quote. So, folks, today be grateful, read great books, think great thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well. Come to our 15th year anniversary at Liberty Toastmasters this Saturday. Live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You're not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Stay tuned for segment two, and Miss Munson just came in the studio.
Fast on a rough road, riding high. Another hour of the Kim Munson Show is coming up on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district. What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Let's have a conversation indeed. I'm Bradley Beck, sitting in for Kim Munson, who actually was doing a TV interview this morning. And as our special guest, she came in just in time. Welcome, Kim Munson, to your show.
Well, thank you, Brad Beck, and thank you. Very last minute, this invite came in. As you know, one of my volunteer gigs is I'm the president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, and we like to protect the taxpayer. And Mayor Mike Johnston is wanting to increase the sales tax in Denver by 0.5%, making life more expensive for people for affordable housing. So I was on at 6, and apparently the mayor was on at 6:30. That will be on their website. And so I thought, oh my gosh, Brad, can you come in and cover for me? And so thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, and I enjoy doing it, and it's always good to be here. And you need to look at your, not you, but our audience, and needs to listen to our voter's guide, which is on your website. It's
yes.
Beautiful, lots of great information, and we encourage people to take a look at that and go out and vote. Get that vote banked in.
Yes, I haven't put my vote in yet. I'm going to do that either today or tomorrow. But tomorrow I'm going to be busy because we've got our anniversary celebration for Liberty Toastmasters, and yesterday was Liberty Toastmasters Day on the show, and we were talking about wins. And Brad, I know I've told you this many times, but you are the co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. My win was you helped me get my voice back.
Wow. Well, you just you did it yourself. All I did was give you the venue with a lot of great people from the leadership program of the Rockies. I put that together 15 years ago, and tomorrow we're going to celebrate it. We're going to have a great meeting and a little potluck afterwards, mm-hmm. So folks can come in and visit us and practice that skill of persuasion and public speaking and get their legs back, mm-hmm. You know, especially if you have a chance like you did this morning to be on an important venue to talk about important issues. And earlier we were talking about with Lawrence Reed about character and liberty, and it's so important to be people to be able to talk about these ideas and virtue. And one of the people that does that beautifully all the time is a guest in studio, Jim May.
Hey, Jim, you snuck in here.
Hey, everybody. Good to be with you, Brad, and back with Kim, and I'm excited. It's finally Friday.
It is.
My day to be on the radio, and love being here.
And you drove in from the Eastern Plains today?
I got up about my usual 4:15, and I drove in, and I-70 all the way, and I made it just in the nick of time.
Yeah, great. It's great to have you here. So
great to be here.
Let's get into the quote of the day, the word of the day, which you have for us, Brad.
Well, the word of the day I put together, and I was thinking about our guest, Lawrence W. Reed, on the first hour, and the word I picked is probity. Probity,
okay.
And it's spelled P-R-O-B-I-T-Y. It comes from the Latin probus, meaning honest, and it implies tried and proven honesty or integrity, and used in a sentence, quote, take from a man his reputation for probity, and the more shrewd and clever he is, the more hated and mistrusted he becomes. And that's from, end of quote, Marcus Tullius Cicero.
Wow.
So probity is honesty, and we don't have enough of that today, especially in politics.
Yeah. We need a little probity on these this election here in Colorado, you
we
think?
Do.
The
we
little
do.
Password security breach.
Oh, man.
Can you believe it?
The gold standard. I'm told it's the gold standard.
Right.
It's fool's gold.
Exactly. Exactly. And regarding our Colorado 2024 election project, two things. As you know, we raised the money for the attorneys for United Sovereign Americans. That lawsuit is filed. They filed in 9 states. And because we raised the money here in Colorado, we were able to be one of those states. We were hoping before the election that one of those states would get kicked up to the Supreme Court. It's not happened yet, but we've been preemptive and proactive, and so it will give us standing. And then the other step two, the first part of it was to raise money for Peter Bernegger, who works with Jay Valentine, to be able to hire the attorneys for that lawsuit. That money's been raised, and then also for Peter to run his technology, his Titan technology, which they've done, and they have found on the voter rolls people that don't belong on the voter rolls, which means that's not a gold standard. And then they've been going back and forth regarding, they're called NIVRA letters. They're the National Voting Rights Act letters between the Secretary of State and Peter's attorneys. And we may have a lawsuit filed. He's assured me, though, even these NIVRA letters give us all the standing that we need as well. So stay tuned on that. And again, this gives us standing. And so we had done all this. And the other thing, Brad, that we had done with our little team is in June, I had a neighbor, she said, Kim, I got to do something, and I'm really good at data. And I said, I tell you what, why don't you research all of the county clerks in Colorado and name, address, email address, phone number, and we sent them a letter in June regarding our elections, and we had 40 of them that responded back. Well, with this security breach, I sent letters to all of the county clerks, and we had all that data, and we're starting to hear back from them as well. So it's,
wow.
You never know. You prepare, and having all that information, I said to my neighbors, thank you. This is so awesome.
Well, you know, it's the old Boy Scout, you know, you always be prepared, always be ready. You never know when there's an opportunity, and if you're not ready, boy, you know, shame on you. So you're always practicing. That's what we do at Toastmasters. That's what you do in ranching. You're always preparing. You're always making sure that things are taken care of, because when the situation happens or an opportunity comes, you got to grab it.
And you have to be ready, for sure. So do you have a quote of the
day? I do, and it is from Lawrence W. Reed, and he was president of the Foundation of Economic Education. He's president emeritus now. He used to work at the Mackinac Center, and the idea of the Overton Window came from the Mackinac Center, and written many books, Are We Good Enough for Liberty? And he did one, The Great Myths of the Great Depression, and Are We Becoming Rome? And there's a story, I don't know if you heard in the first hour, where I was actually at the University of Denver when he was speaking. This is about 2017. And a group of students started to try to cancel him, started yelling at him, saying that what he was saying about Rome was incorrect. And after about the third outburst from these kids, I stood up and I said some things I probably shouldn't say in mixed company. And I looked at these kids, and I basically pointed at them and said, I'm coming up there if you don't shut the, you know what, up. And they were kicked out. They came back in for the Q&A, and I've never seen somebody take the radical just students who had an agenda, and with professionalism and calmness, he just shut them down. It was beautiful. And then he wrote an article, and I happened to be in it. I said, I'd be happy to be part of it. Just don't put the expletives in there. And he didn't. So, but the quote is from Lawrence W. Reed, if you do not govern yourself, you will be governed.
Absolutely. And, that is for sure.
We need to be self-reliant and self-restrained and have self-assertiveness and to have civic knowledge. So when the opportunity comes, we can stand up and talk to our school boards, our elected representatives, not our officials. Thank you for reminding me of that. So great, great words of wisdom.
Well, and as you know, I served on city council from 2012 to 2016. And there's this narrative out there of local government. And local governments can be as tyrannical as a federal government.
Absolutely.
And what I really have learned is the most local of all government is ourselves. And that's where we have to start. And so with that, Jim May, I'm so excited that you're here. And this poem that you did last week, we have had all kinds of requests for that. But let's talk a little bit about Lavaca Meat Company as we were preparing.
Okay.
You said you guys have dog food?
Now, see, I learned that just down at the office last week. And so I don't know everything about my own companies, I guess. But, yeah, so we've always offered this very top premium meat down at the Lavaca Meat Store. So, and we're proud of what we do. We grew up out on the Eastern Plains, and we're a family business, and we now control, almost 200,000 cattle at a time. I don't know how this all happened. I have to pinch myself sometime because we just grew up out there and a small farm and fed a few cattle, and we decided at one point out of high school that we were going to take on feeding cattle, and we started building pens, and my brother's very proficient in trading and doing some of the things. We have four brothers in the business, Jim, Dan, Tom, and Steve, and we basically kept buying farmland and kept building pens and feeding cattle, and we feel proud of what we do. We love this country. We have a feed yard in Nebraska. We have another one over here in Wiggins, Colorado, that we have half ownership in, and three in Stratton, about 65,000 out there on the plains and fitting. And then we have ranches up here by Kiowa and Lyman through that country, and ranches in northern Nevada, the BLM country, where we really started buying cattle. And that's where I picked up cowboy poetry, Elko, Nevada, buying high desert cattle and going out there and meeting the people and buying their cattle and love of that country. And you know, I guess our cattle buyer was a mainstay in the town of Elko, and his wife, they wanted to support cowboy poetry, the cowboy poetry gathering usually in January. And so we did a lot of work in terms to raise money for that. We did little auctions out in the country with them and got to know some of those folks, you know. I didn't really want to do this, as I've told you before, but it just kind of fell into place, and it makes life interesting. So,
okay. Well, before we get into it, Lavaca Meat Company is located in Nevada and Maine in Old Littleton, and it really is a great protein source in your diet, and it tastes really, really good.
Yeah, we think it's as good as beef can be done. We're proud of how we feed cattle, but we know how to age the carcass. You know, we do 21 days. And we've always, it's just like wine. Mm-hmm. Things are done right, and you get that taste house, that taste of the steakhouse that had the, we call it the steakhouse experience at home. And you can go in there and find that kind of meat. It's usually USDA prime choice meat, always USDA prime and mostly high choice or prime. But aged right, fed right, harvested right at the right time, and we're proud of what we have there. It's a little more expensive than normal meat that you get in a store, but it's just like wine. It's like buying a really good bottle of wine or something. We think there's a difference. We'd like you to try it. We'd like you to think about Christmas and gift packages are our biggest time of the year, and we send them out to some folks out on ranches that are wanting to maybe give their employees a nice gift. It comes in a nice gift package. And also, just people that you do business with to get, I know Omaha Steaks does that. This is better than Omaha Steaks. Not to run anybody down, but this is a little better quality meat. And so we hope that you'll stop in there at Nevada in Maine, our little store. The parking's a little tough down there at times, but we also go online and do all these things online.
Awesome. Awesome. So, okay, I asked you to reshare the poem from last week that you wrote, which, again, if you want a copy of it and the audio of it, just text me, and I'll at 720-605-0647. So what do you have for us,
Jim? I write poems for different occasions, and we have for the holidays and different things we've come up, and this is probably about the last time I'm going to really... This poem's ever going to really fit with 4 days left in the election, till the election. And so this is my thoughts on election 2024. Now, as the 2024 election draws near, the next thing we'll see are the politics of fear. They say he's a dictator, a Nazi, and a dangerous foe. Even though, wasn't he just president just 4 years ago? Just 4 years ago, there weren't any wars. And the prices were reasonable in all of the stores. Our borders were enforced, and they were building a wall. They changed everything, and so now there's no border at all. Now we've been overrun by crime, drugs, and inflation. Look what's happened to our strong, thriving nation. We're being invaded by drug lords and criminals today. Now our veterans and taxpayers and citizens will pay. How stupid do these people think we all are? This has gotten out of hand. And it's going too far. Almost assassinated twice and tried and convicted, the man just keeps going as his freedom's restricted. I say let's give this man a chance. He's fixed it before. I'm tired of their economy, their crime, and their war. Let's make the right choices and let this man win. And together we will make America great again.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's Jim May. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Jim May, with Lavaca Meat Company, located at Main and Nevada in Littleton, Colorado. And as you know, I have wonderful sponsors. Another great sponsor is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. They're moving their offices right now, and so they're a little busy. But Roger and his team have been serving their customers for 48 years, and just so honored to have them as sponsors. And so, like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
So I switched my insurance to the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Agency. Get this. I actually talked to Roger Mangan, who has been helping people with their insurance coverage in our community for 47 years. He helped me create a State Farm personalized price insurance plan for my home and auto and explained affordable options. For personalized service and peace of mind that you are working with a team that cares about you and your family, call Roger Mangan now at 303-795-8855. Kim highly recommends the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team. Again, that number is 303-795-8855.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday. It's Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. I'm Bradley Beck, sitting in the big chair for Kim Monson, who came into the studio from a TV gig that she did earlier this morning. Kim, good morning.
It was great. I'm always up early anyway. So thanks as that all happened, because as the president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, we are a no on all of these tax increases. It's crazy to me that you're going to tax people more so you can make housing affordable.
It's government-induced
or government-subsidized housing. So very excited, though, Brad, about our next guest. I'm going to let you introduce him in just a moment. But as many of you know, I had the great honor to moderate the documentary A Climate Conversation, which is the project of my friend Walt Johnson. And with that, we've started a fabulous podcast series. And our next guest was one of our guests on that. And he's written this piece that you're going to mention. And Jim, you're going to be very interested in this as well. But it's Greg Walcher. So set this up for us, Brad.
Well, Greg's a great friend. And I've known Greg since about 2008 when I went through the leadership program of the Rockies. And he's one of the most recognized and respected national leaders in natural resources. And in addition to his very popular blog, Resources and Reality, and he writes often in a weekly column and in Western Resource Issues. He's the author of a great book called Smoking Them Out. I use it as a reference all the time. It's about the theft of our environment and how to take it back. Lots of great solutions. He worked with Governor Owens, and he's a frequent speaker in a variety of venues. Greg Walcher, welcome to the Kim Munson Show.
Thanks, Brad. Good to talk to you.
It's good to talk with you, sir. And we go back. You were in Washington, D.C. when I did some advocacy there, and you spoke on behalf of Helen Griebel and the Red Card Solution, so I'm always grateful for that. But you've got a new article, an essay called A New National Sacrifice Zone. And that, when I heard sacrifice, I don't like sacrifice, so I like investment. Tell us a little bit about that article.
Well, we're talking about the federal government's plan to build gigantic power line corridors across vast swaths of the country using the federal eminent domain powers in order to get electricity from massive fields of solar panels to the power grids, because these gigantic fields of solar panels, of course, are not going to be built where the big cities are that need the power. They're going to build them all over the West where they don't care about the people who live there. It's been a sort of a concern, as you know, from the very beginning of the conversation about renewable energy for decades. One of the biggest problems facing renewable energy advocates is the size of the footprint that would be required to generate as much power from solar panels as would be needed to replace all of the oil and gas and coal and other power that we have in this country. And advocates are generally the same people who oppose power lines and pipelines as well. So they've always had kind of a problem with that. And in fact, when I was at the Colorado Department of Natural Resources years ago, that department estimated that you'd have to cover two entire counties with solar panels in order to create enough electricity to power the city of Denver. The technology has improved some since then, which we're proud of and should acknowledge. There was a similar study at the time that said if you wanted to create enough electricity from solar for the entire metropolitan New York City area, you'd have to cover a swath as big as Arizona. Wow. Now, more recent reports now say that if you covered all of Colorado and Wyoming with solar panels, you would generate enough electricity not just for the city of New York, but possibly for the whole country. So the technology is improving some, but great. How good does that make people feel who live in rural communities in Wyoming and Colorado?
Well, you know,
it's not a very realistic thing. And so, sure enough, here comes the federal government now saying, well, let's use the BLM land for that. And they're now proposing to lease as much as 32 million acres of BLM land across 11 western states to build 50,000 square miles worth of solar installations. And in order to get that power to the grid, building these massive transmission lines, which would be, in the case of the one across the Midwest, for example, would be a swath connecting these vast solar projects in Wyoming and Colorado to the Midwest power grid by building power lines and taking land with eminent domain five miles wide all the way across Kansas and Missouri and Illinois and Indiana. You're talking about 400,000 square miles of land. I'm sorry. You're talking about, that would be the equivalent 40,000 square miles
yeah.
of land.
Yeah.
And
well, it's land that ranchers like Jim would have.
Yeah, I'm very familiar
Nobody has asked the people in Kansas and Missouri and Illinois and Indiana if they want to give up their farmland for that purpose. But the point that I was making in the column you referred to is that nobody has asked them yet. Using the federal power of eminent domain is intended to be a last resort. In fact, when Congress authorized the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, when Congress gave them eminent domain power for power lines like this, it was to be used as a last resort. And the condition Congress put on it was, among other things, that it would be used in situations where there's a desperate need for this power and the state and local governments, which is normally where eminent domain power is used, would either be legally unable or have proven unwilling to work on that. And in this case, nobody's even asked the states and counties involved in it yet. They're just sort of asserting up front that they're going to use federal eminent domain power to take whatever land they need in order to get this desperately needed power. But here's the thing, Brad, the power is not, the demand for it is not being driven by consumer demand. It's being driven by the government's intention to wean us from oil and gas and coal and force the construction of wind and solar and other kind of renewable power. That's what's driving the need for these power lines, not consumer demand.
Unbelievable. Well, Greg, we've got lots more questions for you, and we'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lorne understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lorne Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lorne at 303-880-8881.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
It's Friday. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Brad Beck, sitting next to the great Kim Munson, who was doing a TV interview, and she asked me to come in early this morning. Happy to do it, and good
Thank
to see you,
you
Kim.
It's great. Are you having fun?
I love this. I have a face for radio, so it always incites me to be here. But we have the great Jim May here from Lavaca Meats. Jim, thanks for your poetry this morning.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I've enjoyed coming up here and seeing the mountains out this window in KLZ studio, and it makes you feel American sitting up here.
Yeah. It does. And talking about American, you know, through all Kim's work with veterans, she's honored to work and highlight with the USMC Memorial Foundation and all the work that they're doing right here in Golden at 6 and Colfax. And Paula Saris and her team are working diligently to refurbish that beautiful memorial there. And you just don't have to be a Marine. You could be of any of the various branches of the military. So you can help donate by going to USMCMemorialFoundation.org. That's USMCMemorialFoundation.org. We've been talking with Greg Walcher, and Greg wrote a great piece called a new national sacrifice zone, talking about what they're doing out on the Great Plains and the so-called BLM land, the Bureau of Land Management, not the other BLM. And when Greg was talking about the energy sources needing two counties to take over for Colorado for the energy source, I thought, well, it's not bad if they took Denver County and Boulder County, but we really don't want that to happen either, Greg.
No, probably not. And keep in mind that the corridor that I described earlier is just one of a dozen that the Department of Energy is proposing around the country, and they are very, very poorly defined. And it's one of the reasons why they haven't asked any of the counties or states to be involved in this yet, because they still haven't been willing to define for people exactly where they're going to put these. The one that we talked about would literally be 780 miles long, all the way across five states in a swath 5 miles wide. But that is 4,000 square miles. But it's nothing compared to, for example, one that they're talking about that would cross the Dakotas, where they're saying, in fact, they say on all of these that the corridor could be as much as 100 miles wide. You're talking about the entire counties in that kind of a scenario, and people just shake their heads and say, oh, they wouldn't do that. Maybe not, but they are very deadly serious about covering 50,000 miles, square miles of BLM land with solar panels.
Well, and Greg, that
would have to get to the grid somewhere.
But think about what that does to our food source. Taking that farmland and that ranch land, and Jim May, that would be of concern to you as well, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Greg, we do have a lot of BLM ground on our ranches out in Nevada. So we're very familiar with the allotments, and we work with the BLM all the time. There's times we can go out there, and there are times we have to come back in on our deeded and breed our cattle and everything. But, yeah, you know, the number one thing to me is food for our country, and we have to be a little bit careful. We've got a lot of good ways of making energy, and unfortunately, the green movement came in, and I think it really cost this country a lot in our economy. That's the reason our fuel went up. We got away from what we were doing. We need to be reasonable in what we're doing, use all the sources that we have, use the smartest ones we have. We can still be clean with our energy and everything else, but I think sometimes these people get too carried away.
Yeah, and the numbers on it just sound, I don't know, it's hard to, it's like trying to describe to someone what a trillion is, you know, the 50,000 square miles of land, that's bigger, there's 17 states that are smaller than that. And if you look at the BLM's map where they're proposing 32 million acres of solar panels with big giant red splotches that show where they would be, it includes most of the state of Nevada. It includes gigantic swaths of Utah and Wyoming, almost all of southeast Oregon and southwest Idaho, and a section of western Colorado that includes most of Moffett, Rio Blanco, Garfield, and Mesa counties. That's 600,000 acres of Colorado, which is three times more than they want to build in California, by the way, which is where they need the power. It's just because nobody wants this stuff in their own backyard, right?
Right.
And that's always been a problem for solar installations. It's just the size of the footprint that's needed. And even though the technology gets better all the time, it still requires massive areas of land in order to generate enough power. And so the whole question comes down to, well, how much power are we talking about? What's enough power? The federal government keeps saying, you know, enough to meet the demand of this country. But that demand is entirely imposed artificially by the government. It is not a demand being driven by the growth in the number of Americans. Our population isn't growing that fast. It's driven by the government's demand that we stop using oil and gas and coal, which is the most affordable and abundant energy supply on Earth. That's entirely a government dictate, not anything that the consumers want or need or the taxpayers are willing to pay for. And so they're just going to force it, or at least try to, by fiat, by using BLM land in a way that, by the way, the federal law doesn't authorize. There's a very specific law that governs how BLM manages all that land. It is the largest land management agency in the world, in America, I mean. And the Federal Land Policy Management Act, that is their governing statute, dictates what they can lease land for. Solar panels isn't listed, and so this is all, Congress hasn't specifically authorized what we're talking about.
Well, Greg, you know, one of the things I think is important in moving the offices of Washington, D.C. out west to really see what happens out here, because you can't manage something thousands of miles away. And I know that the Western Slope was one of the places where they moved some federal offices to it. Do you think that made a difference in how people approach this?
Well, they actually moved the national headquarters of the BLM to Grand Junction, which lasted just a few seconds because it didn't last past the inauguration of Joe Biden. In fact, it's interesting to note that it's one of the very first things that they did when they changed the leadership of the Interior Department, beyond any of the major issues that face all of that federal land and all the issues we talk about on public lands and the health of the forest and endangered species and water especially and all of the rest, the highest priority for them was moving the BLM headquarters back to Washington, because they don't want the people who make these decisions to have to walk down Main Street the next day and face the people whose lives they're affecting.
Unbelievable. Well, Kim, you look like you have a question.
Well, I one of the things Jim said was he referenced the Green New Deal. And Greg, as I've been going through doing all of these different podcasts, the one that we did with you was so informative. But what I've figured out is the Green and the Green New Deal is the money that's going into the pockets of all these people that are building these pipelines and the solar panels. And I'm for all different energy sources. But as you know on the show, we talk all the time about freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And so what we're seeing here is public dollars, public coercion, to try to shut down one industry in favor of another industry and taking all kinds of tax dollars. And that is going someplace. Those billions of dollars is going someplace, and it's taking money from not only us, but also from our children and our grandchildren, with the government printing money as well. It's really unconscionable to me, Greg Walcher.
Well, I think it is a moral issue, mortgaging the futures of our great-grandkids in that kind of a way. A little bit of an aside there, but yeah, you're exactly right. And one of the things that's most irksome about it from a good governance standpoint is that they're trying to accomplish by executive orders and memos from the secretary and those kind of policy documents what they can never get done by an act of Congress, because the people are not in favor of doing the kind of things we're talking about here. And Congress would never vote to take away this and, you know, vast sections of these western states for something that the public doesn't want. That would never pass Congress. So they're trying to accomplish it by administrative directives instead.
Well, and Greg, you also mentioned that it's been somewhat ambiguous on exactly what the plans are. I'm wondering if that's by design, because people, if they don't know what's going on and then all of a sudden it shows up, it's difficult to stop that. Do you think that that's by design, or is it incompetence?
Oh, no, it's definitely by design. And in fact, they would tell you, if you just from their point of view, they would say, well, there's all sorts of studying that has to be done before we know exactly where these power lines would be needed, because we don't know yet, you know, which solar panels will come online first and exactly which installations have to be connected first. So we can't really say all that ahead of time, to which we would say, well, then come and see us when it's time to decide whether we build a power line across my farm or not. Then let's talk about it at the time. But instead, they want to go ahead and acquire the land by eminent domain for all of these corridors that may or may not be needed at some future date, and then start building all the solar installations, depending on how long it takes BLM to lease the land and so on. It's all incredibly vague, and it's very much on purpose. They're relying into what is, to me, kind of a cynical way. They're relying on people's ability to sort of turn the other way and say, well, it doesn't affect me yet.
Well, and that's
by
why
the time people realize that it does, it may be too late.
Right, and that's why it is so important that we be talking about this right now. And now, my understanding under eminent domain is that if land is taken, then the people that it's supposed to be taken from, that they would receive a fair market compensation for that. Is that correct?
That is right. That's part of the constitutional system for eminent domain. Private land can't be taken for public purposes without just compensation as part of the Fifth Amendment in the Bill of Rights. So, yeah, that's the system. But in reality, who gets to decide what fair market value is? They do.
Well,
not you.
Yeah, if that's not a problem. But the other thing, Greg, that I thought about this, and when I was on city council, we had a couple of little eminent domain questions, which I was not in favor of, and basically had said, over my dead body, are we going to be taking this via eminent domain? And I was afraid they might take me up on it. But
there is a legitimate purpose for it, and there's a reason the founders put it in the Constitution, because you can't let, you know, one property owner can't stand in the way of progress for the rest of the country. And it's been used a number of times when there was a need for roads.
Right.
And other public infrastructure, public buildings and arsenals and forts, and all of it was part of the original statutory construction in the 1700s. And so there is a good reason for it, and local governments do use it from time to time. State governments use it. It was necessary to build the interstate highway system, and among other things. So there is a legitimate purpose for it.
I get that. And actually, some of my father's land was used via eminent domain for I-70. So I get that. I understand that. But this was for a turn lane or a pad for a bridge, for a pedestrian bridge. And I did not feel that that was the proper use of that. But the other thing, Greg, as I was looking at
that is the reason why eminent domain is almost always the purview of state and local governments, because the elected representatives then are in a better position at the local level to decide whether or not that particular bridge is needed, or a particular off-ramp or turn lane or whatever it might be. Because then you're somebody who gets elected and has to walk down Main Street the next day. Giving that kind of power to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which I guarantee you there aren't five people in Colorado who could even tell you the name of one single member of that commission.
Right.
None of them were elected by anybody. And so to give that kind of power to them was intended by Congress to be an absolute last resort if the state and local governments refused to cooperate with something that was considered by Congress to be a national interest. So they're calling these National Interest Electric Transmission Corridors, NIETCs, and they haven't even begun the process of asking any local government whether they thought it was necessary or not.
Well, and Greg, one other point, and we're just about out of time, but from a just compensation thing, so for example, if a farmland was taken via eminent domain for this what this purpose, and the farmers paid in dollars, but our dollars are being deflated because of all of the money that's been infused into and printed into our economy, so they would be losing this hard asset, which they would make a living into the future, and being paid by dollars that will be deflating. I think it puts them in a very difficult situation.
And the Department of Energy fully acknowledges that it creates all kinds of potential unintended consequences and side effects and collateral damage, which has not yet been fully analyzed. They fully admit that. But, you know, you talk about fair market value. I mean, how much is 4,000 square miles of land across the Corn Belt, the breadbasket of the world, worth? How much is it worth to the United States and to the people of the future to sacrifice that much good farmland?
Wow, good point.
Unbelievable.
I don't know how you even go about determining that, but to talk about it as if it's a done deal and propose it as they have done and begin the process of eminent domain before any of that's even been talked about just seems incredible to me.
Wow.
It really does. Well, Greg Welcher, thank you for being a guest today, and I'd encourage people to go and get your book that's now in second edition, Smoking Them Out. Has some great solutions in there, how to take back all these different ideas that Washington is forcing upon citizens. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, and Greg, what's your website? Because everybody can find these important articles there.
They can find me at gregwelcher.com, and all of my columns are there, and they can look at the book there, and I hope they will.
Okay, great job. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication.
Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Now that school's back in, mom and dad can enjoy some alone time, and that means heading to the range to fire off a few rounds. Franktown Firearms has the ammunition and inventory you need and at the lowest tax rate around. If there's something that you're looking for and Franktown doesn't have it, they can probably find it for you. With their 30-yard, 10-lane ventilated range, it is the perfect place to hone your shooting skills and spend some quality time. Qualified instructors from law enforcement and military backgrounds are available for training when you want to improve your skills. And ladies, don't miss Ladies' Night the first Friday of each month, where you can shoot with like-minded women and grow your skills together. So come down and see why Franktown Firearms is the place where friends are made and take advantage of their many specials. Find out more about Franktown by visiting the advertisers page on KLZradio.com today.
It's Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Bradley Beck. I'm the other Beck, not the more famous Beck, but I'm pleased to host Kim's show today, and she was doing a TV spot. She came back in studio for the second hour. We're joined by Jim May of Lavaca Meats, and it's so good to be here, Kim, and to sit in your chair. I feel like I'm honored, but I'm like, what am I sitting here for? You should be sitting here.
I feel like a guest. I don't feel the pressure that I normally feel. This is like a vacation day for me, so thank you, Brad.
You're welcome. It's awesome, and it's always good to be here, and we'd like to remind people to sign up for your email newsletter, get the first look of all the guests who are coming on. The most recent essays, I recently published my most recent one called Practice Persuasion Against Pundits, Politicians, and Provocateurs, and a little bit about persuasion, and you can practice that at Liberty Toastmasters, which we have our 15th year anniversary this Saturday down at the Independence Institute. We invite all our listeners to come on down and practice with us and celebrate a little bit with our 15 years, and we're going to be focusing on all our wins that we've had over that time period. You can always get in touch with Kim at kimmunson@kimmunson.com, and thank you for contributing to support our independent voice and our exercising our right of freedom of speech. And one thing I'd like to remind everybody of is they should put on their bucket list to go down to Pueblo for the visit the Center for American Values, located on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo. The Center of American Values was co-founded by Medal of Honor recipient Drew Dix and Emmy Award-winning documentary maker Brad Padula. And the center is focused on honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and teaching about and upholding the principles of America, which are honor, integrity, and patriotism. And for more information, you can check out their website at AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And we're talking in studio with Jim May from Lavaca Meats, and Kim's here letting me sit in her chair. And we also have somebody on the line who's going to be talking a little bit about a very important issue, Stephanie Luck. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kim Munson program. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the situation with Jenna Griswold and the breach that is happening with the passwords.
Well, that's quite a topic. So, as you know, last Thursday, the Secretary of State's office became aware that they had released 664 roughly passwords in 63 of 64 counties related to their election machines. And they discreetly removed that file from their website and removed the hidden tabs and then reposted the file and didn't tell anyone other than a federal cybersecurity individual investigator. Didn't tell the clerks, didn't tell the governor, and didn't tell the public. It became public knowledge on Tuesday of this week as a result of a letter sent by the Colorado Republican Party, and that has now started this firestorm that has brought us to here Friday. You know, county clerk's offices that have been impacted are, as I understand it, alight with activity. And the county clerks, unfortunately, found out about this situation from their election judges who were reading about it through the Colorado Republican Party's email. And so it's been quite a week. Now, it's interesting because these passwords that were leaked are the BIOS passwords. They're the underlying independent operating system passwords. The BIOS is basically the foundational code that determines how a computer operates, and they can control the whole system. Once you're in the BIOS, you can do things to avoid virus and malware detection. You can manipulate system logs to erase the evidence that you've been in there and tampering with that. You can secretly see the current vote tallies before polls close to give bad actors, which would give bad actors the advanced knowledge of how many votes they would need to get in order to win. In fact, they can even control the machine itself to manipulate vote tabulation. So this is no small thing, which is why in 2021, we're in Mesa County, when one single BIOS password, a partial password, was exposed, Jesse Romero, he's a senior official in the Secretary of State's office, he testified under oath in Tina Peters' trial saying that when he found out about it, he immediately got sick to his stomach because he knew what it was, and that you know, that the BIOS passwords are so significant that he had to set off the alarms, quote. He notified his management, the administrative team, and basically everyone who would be involved because, quote, we have a serious problem. And now, unfortunately, the Secretary of State is treating this as no real big deal because there are redundancies in the system and that those redundancies should be sufficient to keep everything secure. And unfortunately, the people of Colorado just don't believe that. And so the question is, how between now and Tuesday do we restore the confidence of the people in our election tallies and results?
Well, if you don't have trust in our electoral system, you have a real big problem. And I'm wondering how Jenna Griswold is going to really address this problem because, you know, somebody like you mentioned, Tina Peters, was put into jail for 9 years, a little different circumstance. But still, there's no trust there with the Secretary of State. And I'm wondering how our elected representatives like yourself can address this and really put the thumbscrews to Secretary of State.
Well, my hope is that there will be at least an audit committee hearing in the short term that the legislature can use to provide some transparency, accountability, and oversight over this process. Beyond that, I do think that not only is the legislature needing to act, but also I think that DAs and sheriffs need to begin thinking about what their responsibilities are in this, because the leaking of a password is a class 5 felony. And so now you have a criminal situation wherein the evidence or potential evidence are these machines, and they're being tampered with because in order to secure them again, we're being told that they just need to change the passwords. Some are saying we need a trusted build. Others are saying because of the possibilities of impacting the machines with the BIOS and not nobody knowing about it, that actually those machines have to be decertified and taken out. And so you have this range of questions, but what is the criminal investigation side to ensure that if there was any sort of issue, that evidence is preserved? And is the AG going to step up, or the different DAs, are they going to step up and call for for charges? Are they going to press charges in this matter? Are they going to open investigations into this? Or is there going to be a double standard applied because she is the Secretary of State? These are serious questions that we need to talk about as a state and as a citizenry.
Well, Representative Luck, what we're seeing, though, is, I think, damage control. You're seeing PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties are out there on the airwaves assuring everyone that everything's fine, that it's no big deal. We've got just about a minute. What would you say to that?
I would say that they don't appreciate the significance of a BIOS password. And I would say that we all should, like Jesse Romero, get sick to our stomach when we think about the keys to the kingdom, the keys to power, the keys to leading this state being potentially given to bad actors who would use that to advance their own nefarious ends. And so I hope that they're right, that there is truly nothing to see here. But in light of what was done in Tina Peters' situation, where in only a partial password for one election component resulted in the removal of the machines from Mesa County for that following election, I do think that we should consider the same standard be applied in this situation.
Very good. Well, thank you, Representative Luck. Where can people go for more information?
Well, I know that the Colorado Republican Party is putting out information regularly, and so I'd join their newsletter. I believe you can access that easily on their website.
Thank you very much, Representative Luck. We appreciate your time and information. And the end of the show quote is from our guest in the first hour. It was Lawrence W. Reed. Quote, if you do not govern yourself, you will be governed. End of quote. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well. Visit Liberty Toastmasters this Saturday morning for our 15-year anniversary. Live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Fast on a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a new moon, rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.